Welcome into this Golf Channel podcast. Lisa Cornwell, Brian Bateman, taking a look back at the 2016-17 season that was on the PGA Tour. It was filled with a lot of excitement, a lot of drama, a lot of newcomers. Just your thoughts on the season as a whole.
Well, I think individually, easy for me to say, as players go, you have to look at what Justin Thomas did, the historic season he did, five wins, picking up his first major championship, all at the age of 23. Very similar to what Jordan Spieth did back in 2015 when he made a run through four or five wins in a major. So looking at one player, you have to look at what Justin Thomas did this year and wonder how that's going to carry over for the next 10, 15 years as he continues this, really, this young trend we have on the PGA Tour right now.
Yeah, and we'll continue to talk about, obviously, him throughout this podcast, but let's go back to the Masters. I was there. It was actually my very first trip to Augusta National. Really cool experience. But to watch, and look, we've all, anybody who's watched golf over the last however many years with Sergio Garcia finally breaking through. He's been close so many times, and for him to do what he did at Augusta National, did you think he would ever get one?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you follow golf at all and you follow Sergio Garcia's career. And when I was playing on the PGA Tour was, you know, 15 years ago when he was really young. He was the Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas age now. He had a world of talent. He still does. But it was just surprising that it took this long. It was almost destiny, though, Lisa, I think, this year at the Masters. Remember on Sunday, he hooks it left on 13, headed toward the Rays Creek. It rattles around, goes in the water. He takes a drop, ends up getting up and down for par on that hole, and then hit some unbelievable shots coming down the stretch to get into the playoff with Justin Rose. 76 times without a major. He wins on his 77th try at the age of 37. I thought it would either come at the Masters or possibly come at the Open Championship because he plays the ball, his ball striking is so strong. But, you know, he's at a good place in his life right now. He played some great golf that week. He didn't play very well in the other major championships this year, but I don't think it matters now because now he's a major champion.
It was so much fun watching him hit the ball in person, too, that little stinger cut that he hits. Man, we can all replicate.
That's the shot you have.
Yeah, only mine starts right and keeps going. Right. So on that note, on the thought of the majors, who's the next player to break through? Is it a more seasoned guy like Lee Westwood? Can he still get the job done? Or is it a younger guy like a Ricky Fowler?
I think Ricky Fowler has to be at the top of this list. I think Ricky Fowler is one, and I think 1A is John Rahm. Yeah. They're just way too talented, still in their prime in their 20s. John Rahm's just getting started in his career. I think Thomas Peters is a name to keep an eye on. He's a early 20s out of the European Tour. Mark Leishman, who played so well in the FedEx Cup playoffs this year, he's played well in major championships in the past. And we keep forgetting to talk about Hideki Matsuyama, who's third in the world and is only in his mid-20s. So I think you're going to see the next major champion come out of someone in their 20s.
Another first-time major winner this season, Brooks Koepka, getting the job
Open.
Done. Yeah, at Erin Hills. You know, there's so much you could say about him. He putted great that week, but looking at the stats on the PGA Tour, I was still amazed that when you would pull up driving accuracy numbers, Brooks Koepka was at the top of the list. This is a guy with an enormous amount of club head speed, and he just finally put it all together that week.
Well, he did, and I think out of the four majors, in my opinion, that was the most impressive performance, and that includes, and we'll get to that in a second, how Justin Thomas played at Quail Hollow in the PGA. Brooks Koepka absolutely dominated at Erin Hills, and you're exactly right. With his club head speed, his length off the tee, the way he found fairways. Now, these weren't the most narrow fairways that we normally see at a U.S. Open, but you still had to find them.
Right.
And he hit a lot of fairways that week. But I think the one area of Brooks Koepka's game that's overlooked more than anything else is his putting. He is a sneaky, good putter. And he's not a streaky putter like, say, a Matsuyama or even a Rory McIlroy. He's top 20 on the PGA Tour in putts per green. So he's a good putter. When you can combine length and accuracy in putting, no surprise that he won the U.S. Open.
What do you think it makes players like him, like DJ? Because we talk about their length, and obviously that's the focus in this game. People love the big hitters. When you watch him, what makes him a good putter?
Well, I think when you look at DJ and Koepka, they both hit it left to right. And I think the more clubhead speed you have, the faster your body moves. If you can hold the face off and hit a left to right shot, you're going to be more accurate than someone who's trying to turn the ball over. Because when you're coming, as a right-handed golfer, when you're coming from the inside, there's a lot of rotation of the club face, trying to hit the ball from right to left. You know, Jordan Spieth does not have a ton of club head speed compared to who we're talking about, some of the longest on tour. But when he turns it over, that's when he can hang one to the right or he can overcook one left. Mm-hmm. DJ and Koepka can aim down the left side and swing as hard as they want and hold the face and hit that cut shot. And,
that left side out of
you know, when you and I were playing, a cut shot was a weaker shot. It didn't go as far. Now with the golf balls are so hard and these club heads are so big with not much grooves on the face, they can hit it left to right just as far as someone who turns the ball over right to left.
You mentioned Jordan Spieth. Did you think he would win the Open this early?
Well, it's hard to bet against him in any event. I was a little bit surprised this year at Birkdale in that he had played some decent golf coming in, but to me, he putts better on fast greens. That's when he's at his best. And I think he's the best putter in the world, but he putts above average, I would say, on slow greens. He putts extraordinary on fast greens. So I wouldn't think the Open would be the type of venue where he made a lot of putts. And did he make a bunch this year at Birkdale? The putts he made coming down the stretch on the back nine Sunday on relatively slow greens was impressive. But nothing he does now impresses me. I mean, you're not 24 years old and winning major championships and winning a handful of tournaments a year and not be one of the best ever already. I mean, he hadn't even got his career started barely.
One of the best shots you've seen in a long time. I'm looking forward, and so many people have predicted that they're going to put a plaque where he hit that, what was it, a 3-wood? And to pull off that shot, especially because you were kind of watching him. It looked like maybe mentally he was getting out of it. He was a little frustrated, and then all of a sudden things just start changing. And they can do that in golf, right? Just change on a dime, and they did for him in the positive way. But one of the best clutch trouble shots we've seen in a long time.
And I think also you have to look at how he handled that situation, because when you're in a situation coming down the stretch trying to win any golf tournament, everything's moving quickly. And if you're hitting in fairways and you're hitting greens and you're making putts, it slows down a little bit. But to be in a major championship on that stage and to hit the ball as far right as he did on the 13th and the circus that comes with being one of the best in the world, on top of it being in a major championship and then hitting it off the map, to be able to process all of that information and go through your routine, figure out a direct line, keep your focus, that was as impressive as anything about what he did all week long, is that he could compartmentalize everything that was happening with cameras and people all around, and that no one knew where to drop, and there was equipment trailers in the way. For him to figure out a way to come out on top with that shot and to stay focused was extremely impressive. But that's what makes Jordan Spieth, I think, separate from some of these other young players, is that his mind game is as strong as anybody I've ever seen.
You know, when we first started talking about him and saw him do these amazing things in terms of winning and records and streaks and history books, there were comparisons to Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people who said, you know, that's just not fair. You can't – is it fair now with where he is, what he's done at his age? I mean, we're talking about a guy who is on the verge of the career Grand Slam.
Yep, you're right. I think it's fair to be in the same ballpark with Tiger psychologically, mentally, the belief. One thing that Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods, I think, do have in common is that they grind out rounds. They figure out a way to be around par, sometimes even under par, when they're not playing their best.
Yeah.
And that's because that, when Tiger was at his peak, he made a ton of putts, and that's what Spieth does now. The putter is the big equalizer. It can erase any mistakes that you make. So I think Spieth and Tiger are, I wouldn't say the same, but I think you could see some comparisons with how Spieth thinks his way around a golf course, how he believes in himself, and how he never gives up, similar to what Tiger does. But physically, I don't know how anybody can compare to what Tiger did during his run, because he was one of the longest on tour. He had the best iron game on tour, he had the best short game on tour, and he was the best putter on tour.
They feared him. Nobody.
And everybody feared him. And see, that's a great point. You know, the intimidation factor that Tiger had with all the other players on tour was astronomical. I mean, if you were paired with him on a Sunday or even a Saturday, you didn't really think that you had a chance to beat him because he was just so dominant. Spieth is dominant now, but so are a half a dozen other players that don't have that same stare you in the eye, Raymond Floyd, if you will, look like Tiger had.
Comparison,
That's worth a couple of shots around.
It is. We saw it.
We'll see it with that with Spieth.
Justin Thomas, you talk about the mental game that Spieth has, that Tiger had. I think that we saw Justin Thomas read a lot about the work that he was doing on the middle side, because so often we would see him get in situations and maybe hit an errant shot or miss a putt and just kind of collapse, really, or let the tournament get away from him. And it didn't this time. 5 wins this season. Wins his first major, and we saw him in the PGA Championship really, I think, a different player mentally, and it made a difference.
Yeah, it did. I remember a few years back when he was in college, and he was a dominant college player. He played on the Walker Cup team. He was on the Eisenhower Cup team. I mean, he was, and I remember talking to Ryan Lavner about him here at the Golf Channel a couple of years ago. He said, keep your eye on this guy because he can play. I mean, he has all the shots. He comes out on tour and had some early success, but he's the same age as Jordan Spieth, and all of these players that are roughly the same age as Spieth, Spieth got off to such a fast start in his career that you wonder how these other players his age, his contemporaries, if you will, how they were going to stay patient with their careers. And I think Justin Thomas paid his dues. He obviously has a world of talent. I think he learned a lot about the U.S. Open this year when he shot 63 and then had a bad Sunday round, setting himself up to win his first major championship. But he was very impressive at Quail Hollow, and the shot he hit on the 71st hole, the 17th there at Quail, the par 3 with a pin on the left where there's nowhere to hit it left of the flagstick, and he does that with the lead on Sunday, showed me that he's got plenty of game and plenty of belief, and that's what we're seeing out of these young players right now. They have the belief to match the talent, and I think that's what's separating these young players from players of our generation at that age.
And there was the $10 million bonus. So when he won $21 million playing golf this year, does he fund the spring break trip? He has to, right? Give
him
the bill.
Spieth's got a couple of nickels to rub together as well. I think Smiley Coffin would be happy to be on that trip because I think everybody would be comped. But well, that's another thing. We look at the camaraderie we have with these young players. I think it's great.
Yeah.
We didn't see that 20 years ago.
No, you're right. What about it is a different atmosphere. What about the breakout players? I think the person who really stands out on this list is Jon Rahm. He's kind of in that same age group, a little bit younger than those guys, but a wealth of talent. Maybe he's a little bit like a Justin Thomas. He's a fiery guy, kind of needs to get a hold of the emotions, but what do you see from him?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Jon Rahm. You're right, he'll be 23 in November, so he's a year or two behind Spieth and Thomas. But what I like about Jon Rahm is he has no weaknesses. If you look up statistically on tour, he's top 30 in distance, he's top 30 in irons, strokes gained putting. His only weakness is a little bit not as accurate off the tee as some of the other players that hit it as far as he does. But he has the intangible. He's got the it factor. He's not afraid of the big stage. When he won at the Farmers this year and he made that huge putt for Eagle on the 72nd at Torrey, showed that he's not afraid of the big stage. And, I mean, look, I talked about it with some people last week. We were talking about players that are – their future is bright, but maybe they don't get as much attention as others. Jon Rahm technically is not a rookie on the PGA Tour, okay? He played in 8 or 9 events last year, so his rookie status was last season. But all throughout this year, he's playing these golf courses for the first time.
Yeah,
because
that's a
he hasn't
point.
Played them
yeah.
before. He misses 2 cuts this year. His FedEx Cup playoffs, he's in the top 7 in all 4 events, from the start, from the first one all the way to the to the Tour Championship. I think he is someone who can win multiple major championships just because of his age, just because the way that he handles himself on the golf course and his talent with not having any fear. He's going to be a stalwart on the European Ryder Cup team for many, many years, and I think he's going to win multiple major championships. That's how talented he is.
I agree with you 100%. And, look, I'll be honest, I like the fire. I mean, there's sometimes, I guess, when it goes to the extreme, but sometimes you like to
he's
see.
He's going to have to learn how to corral it.
Well, he will, but he's still young, and I think that he will. We've seen Spieth learn. We've seen Justin Thomas. I think a lot of young players. I never learned, but
I didn't either.
But I think that it will. It's always a big storyline when Tiger Woods is involved. And look, personally, I think it's fair to say you and I grew up playing golf with him and knew him as a junior, and so we're not supposed to, in our business, pull for players on the course. But I think I'm so pulling for him off the course.
Yeah.
And, you know, he when you're Tiger Woods and there's an arrest involved and there are prescription drugs involved, unfortunately, you have to face it with the world. And I think that he's faced it. And what do you see coming up for Tiger?
Well, I would like to see him, and I think anybody, whether it's associated with golf, with the Golf Channel, with the PGA Tour, we would like to see Tiger play again. Look, let's be frank here. He's never going to be the Tiger Woods of 2000.
And he said that. He's like, look, I'm 40 years old.
He'll be 42 in December. Right. But with his injuries, the sad part about Tiger is, and you and I have known him for a long time, is he's always lived his life publicly. Yeah. As private as he wanted to be, he couldn't control that. So with his divorce, with his injuries, with his prescription drug issues, with the TMZs of the world that chase these types of stories down, Tiger's always at the center of that. I don't know that he plays again. I really think that his injury is not good. I've talked to a few people that have had similar type back injuries before, and look, he's not getting any younger, and if he spends a year or so off the golf course trying to rehab, trying to get his game back to where he can just play in a PGA Tour event and play 72 holes, the more time you're away from the game, it's not so much physical, it's mental, and he's not getting any younger, and I think deep down he probably knows that he can't compete with this young group of kids that we have on the tour now. He's done everything he could possibly do in his career.
To compete against those guys, the work that would have to go into. Yeah. And look, we're talking about perhaps the most physically, not perhaps, the most physically gifted player that this game has ever seen. But to get back to that level,
you have to have it up here.
You really have to want it. Right. And with everything he's been through, and look at what he's done in the game.
Yeah. I don't see him playing.
Do you want it at that? With everything he's been through?
It would be tough.
Yeah.
But he's a different person in that he thinks differently than anybody who's played the game before. It's not so much physical for Tiger. He's going to have to put the work in. And even if he wants to upstairs, will his body allow him the body of work to get back to playing at a top level? And then another thing about Tiger is he played at such a high level for so long, and he's used to being on top. Would he even entertain the idea of being mediocre on the PGA Tour and just fighting his way, trying to make half the cuts and maybe being in contention a few times a year?
Yeah.
No, that's not Tiger. That's not how he thinks. And so if he can't get there, my opinion, I would think he would just shut it down and retire and
spend more time with his family.
I don't either.
I'm pulling for him just to be happy and to enjoy things. I think that he has he's earned that, and maybe to be out of the spotlight a little bit. He's always wanted
He needs to get healthy.
Yeah, that's most important. Tiger's biggest competitor during his heyday, Phil Mickelson, and look, Phil's come out and said some really good things about Tiger and what he's done for the game and what he did for him personally, you know, just the challenge, making everybody better. Are you surprised that Phil, look, he started off strong in the season, I think, and by strong, I meant we saw him on the front page of the leaderboard several times. Are you still surprised that we haven't seen Phil in the winner's circle since the Open in 2013?
Since the Open, yes. With his talent and his short game, I'm a little surprised he hasn't won yet. But I think the time is running out for Phil Mickelson to win, honestly. I just think that his game now, I don't think he putts as well as he has historically. His short game, which is still, I think, one of the best in the world, is not what it was. And his ball striking has been down the last few years. He's had some injuries. He's not getting any younger either. He's 47 years old. I think the President's Cup this year, I don't think he's going to make the Ryder Cup team this next year. I think this President's Cup is kind of his last hurrah, if you will, for team competition. I still think he plays on the PGA Tour, but honestly, I would be surprised if he won again on the PGA Tour just because the parity of the players on the PGA Tour and the youth and the power it's going to be tough for...
I'm going to disagree. I'll bet you.
You think he wins again?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't see it.
Davis Love III won at the age of, 51?
51.
Phil Mickelson, he'll keep playing for a while. He'll win again. He still wants it badly. You can tell he still wants it. He still works as hard as ever. He'll win. We'll do a side bet after this on that.
Yep.
Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, both winless on the PGA Tour in 2016-17 season. More surprise for Day or McIlroy?
Probably from McIlroy. I think he's probably the most talented player in the world, and when he is on with all aspects of his game, I think he's the best player in the world. But both have been injured, Lisa, as you well know, and both of them need to get healthy again. Rory's just had a rough year with his injuries, and I think the latter part of this season, maybe he should have taken some more time off and fully healed from his injuries. Jason Day went through some family issues with his mother. Neither one of them have had a very...
But with Rory, when we saw him play, and look, the injury, I definitely 100% agree with you, and Day with his mom, I think maybe perhaps it just limited his practice time. But Rory's ball striking numbers were still incredible. It was the putter. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. But his putter has always been his Achilles heel, and what was it? One of the tournaments he switched, he had three or four putters on the putting green before the final round started. Sounds like a Brian Bateman move. But he's so talented, and he's only 28 years old. No, yeah, he's turning into the elder statesman of these world-class players, because all we talk about is the 23- and 4-year-olds. But, you know, Rory's, like I said, I think he's the most talented in the world when he has everything clicking. He just has to get healthy. And in this crazy game that we all love, if you've played it at any level, whether it's as a high-end amateur or as a professional, when you're injured, the game's hard enough. And to play at the highest level like these players are, you have to be 100% healthy. And for Rory to get back to where he wants to be, he's going to have to take some time off and get healthy. The same for Jason Day. You just wonder about future injuries, because they swing so hard. They work out so hard. Their gym time, their range time, they're not...
I'm not getting injured from working out too hard.
I'm not either. But that's a mentality that this younger generation has, especially those two players in particular, that I think was spurned on by Tiger getting so turning to a gym rat, that you would think that Jason Day and hopefully Rory would back off from the gym and realize that you can't put your thumb on that's why they were injured. But, wow, it's hard not to think that had a big part of why they've had some injuries to this point. But both of them need to get healthy to get back to where they want to be.
Speaking of injuries, DJ, we know about his injury at the Masters. Three wins entering, going into Augusta National. He gets hurt. We saw the fall off in his play, and toward the latter part of the season, pick things back up.
Right.
Will we see DJ become the DJ that we saw at the beginning of the season coming up in this next season?
I think there's a distinct possibility, yes, because he's so talented. The way that he handles himself on the golf course, I love his mental approach to each and every tournament. He's so flatlined. He doesn't get up, he doesn't get down. And referencing what we were talking about earlier with Brooks Koepka, this left-to-right ball flight that DJ has with his work over the last couple of years allows him to swing as hard as he wants. He's finding more fairways. His wedge game has improved.
His wedge game, I think that's the difference maker.
Because that's what he has, more of those shots than arguably anyone on the PGA Tour. And then he's made some putts the last year that mattered.
Yeah.
You know, the previous 5 or 6 years, he had some big putts that he missed. Now he's making those putts when they matter. So you put all that together and, wow, I mean, he's got to be the favorite. Oh, by the way, he's still world number one.
Right.
So. And you're right, early start, three wins, and then he wins a Northern Trust when everybody says he's not playing very well. He didn't play great in the playoffs, but four wins this year, and no one's really talking about him that much. Under the radar, world number one, if that makes any sense.
I know, it's kind of crazy. Like, I think when the season really gets moving, the start of 2018, there will be a lot of talk about Dustin Johnson again, because, look, he's not slowing down anytime soon, and you mentioned the wedge play and the putting. I love to watch him putt. Everything in his bag, his tempo is so good with every single club. And he has now put that tempo into the putter. I love watching the guy putt as much as I love watching him pull the driver out of the bag. Speaking of domination, the U.S. in the President's Cup, absolutely dominating that event. Jim Furyk coming up looking ahead to Paris has to be licking his chops and thinking, this young crop of players, this core group that he has, and they're going to be around for
decades.
A long time.
Yeah,
and a long time. And the way that they, you know, you can talk about the international side and a little bit with Nick Price, but I don't know how you beat him that week. I mean, they played so well, and now they're looking ahead. Jim Furyk looking ahead to France.
Well, and I think it was total domination by the Americans at the international. Over the international team at the President's Cup. And you're right, I don't think it mattered who was playing on the international squad. when you have so many top 10, top 15 in the world players on the same team that are roughly the same age, that are close friends, have very similar games, play practice rounds together. I mean, this is what we saw from the European squad during the Ryder Cup for all these years. You had close-knit buddies that were world-class players. Yeah. And I think the American side was missing that in recent years on the Ryder Cup. Now you've got that on the American side. And we saw it at the President's Cup. Fowler and Reed and Spieth and Thomas, Koepka, all in their 20s, all at the top of their games and all close buddies. Daniel Berger. I mean, so if you look forward to the Ryder Cup coming up with Jim Furyk, you have this chemistry built in from the President's Cup. You don't really want to mess it up. But a lot can happen in the next year. I mean, is Zach Johnson going to be on the Ryder Cup team? Is Kevin Kisner going to be on the Ryder Cup team? Matt Kuchar, Phil Mickelson, Brant Snedeker, players that have been on these teams in the past. Now you've got this young core group that was on the President's Cup team that you really don't want to mess up the system. And then on the European side, the elder statesmen of those teams with Westwood and Stenson, Garcia. Where's the younger batch of players, world-class players on the European side? So I think this President's Cup really showed what the Americans are going to have for many, many years on the President's Cup and Ryder Cup side. And I think Europe and the world are in a world of trouble trying to beat this group of kids.
It's hard to believe.
I call them kids.
We just wrapped up. It's hard to believe we just wrapped up this season and we're already looking ahead and just like a little over a week to next season. Here we go again. What are you looking forward to most coming up?
Well, getting back to the youth, Lisa, that we had this year, we had 18 wins on the PGA Tour by players under the age of 25. Does this continue? I think it does. We have a new crop of players coming out from the Web.com Tour. Who's going to be the next Jordan Spieth? Who's going to be the next Justin Thomas? But I talked to Hudson Swafford, who won earlier this year out in the desert for his first PGA Tour win, and he told me, he said, Brian, I feel like one of the older players on the PGA Tour this past season. He's 30.
Yeah.
And he said that's how much the 5 years he's been on the tour, how much it has changed because it's players in their 30s don't dominate. It's the players in their 20s or early 20s.
That's how it used to be.
And he said it's gotten now where I feel like I'm the oldest player in the locker room or in player dining. And I think that continues moving forward. So that's what I want to see. I want to see if that continues this year. I also want to see how Justin Thomas reacts to 5 wins in a major this year. Remember when Spieth had that historic year in 15, 4 wins in a major or 2 majors? 16, there was a little bit of a letdown. How does Justin Thomas handle the pressure of being a FedEx Cup champ, being a major champion? All this success pretty much has hit him in the last 12 months. How does he handle that moving forward?
What about the majors? And let's start with the Masters. Can Rory get his game back in form in time? Look, he's only green jacket away from the career Grand Slam.
He gets one chance a year to complete the career Grand Slam.
It has to be so much pressure.
I couldn't agree
more. It's the biggest storyline, I think, coming in every single year. And you have to wonder if that's had a little bit of an effect on him. It's kind of a stranglehold.
Yeah, well, Spieth's the same thing with the PGA, but you got different venues. But I think that works in Rory's favor because he knows where it happens. I mean, he's been close at Augusta before.
You like that golf course for him?
I do, absolutely. I mean, with his length and as high as he hits it, it's all about the putter once again. If he can make the putts when he has to and stay away from the big numbers, which has got him in trouble in the past. So let's look at the majors for this year in the venues. So you've got Augusta, obviously. Shinnecock going back
to a traditional venue.
To the traditional one. Hadn't been there since 2004. So this young group of players on the PGA Tour and European Tour, they don't know much about Shinnecock Hills when Retief Goosen won back in 2004. Who does that favor? It's just a hard golf course. And depending on how the USGA decides to set it up and the wind conditions and weather, I think that's wide open. Carnoustie going back for the Open this year. Hadn't been there since 2007. So once again, you've got players. Carnoustie?
Oh, it ate my lunch.
Well, that's another venue that these players don't know a lot about because it hasn't been in the rota in a while. And then Belle Reve for the PGA, I don't think any players were around in 1992 the last time the PGA was there. Although they did have the BMW there back in 2008 when I think Carmelo won that year.
That's pulling out an interesting nugget that I wasn't expecting.
So I guess in general, you have major championship venues this year that aren't very familiar with players on tour.
Right.
So I think the majors are wide open.
Do you see Spieth stepping into the winner's circle in a major once again?
I think a course like Shinnecock suits Spieth well just because he's a grinder and he can putt fast greens better than anybody in the world. The other venues, I don't really know. I think Bellerive's kind of the oddball of these in that we don't know much about it. You know, it's a long golf course, but really no expectations from players because there's no personal experience. But then that was the same with Erin Hills this year. We had majority of the players had never seen the golf course before. I think it's going to be interesting on the major side for the tour this year. Who, what players break out? Will we have a first-time winner or will we have someone in their 30s that's old win a major championship? I think that's the better question. Does someone not in their 20s win a major this year?
Oh, I think so.
You do?
Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe Carnoustie. Maybe Carnoustie would be a good venue for that.
Normally the Open favors someone with experience.
Yeah, we've seen that happen. John Rahm, get the job done. John Rahm or Ricky Fowler win a major first? It's my last question I'll pose to you.
I'm going to say John Rahm just because I'm on the record for saying he wins multiple major championships. You would think Ricky Fowler would have one by now. I think he's 28 now. John Rahm's just getting started. I just think he's going to do it.
All right. We can throw our 2016-17 research notes in the trash can. Get ready for 2017-18. Is that right?
Yeah.
It is. I get confused easily. It's been fun. We kick back off here in a little over a week from now. Look forward to it with you.